90 WKZO. It is the trifecta. We have sent out a traffic text just a few seconds ago about a traffic slowdown near mile marker 69 eastbound I-94. We'll get a new text in. Traffic is stopped completely now. So if you're headed eastbound on 94 and you are you haven't gotten past Mattawan yet, you're going to want to get off at Mattawan.
Are you familiar with MyDrive, the MDOT
yes.
map?
Yes.
Not showing a thing about that.
Wow.
So you got, if you want current street information, you got to listen to us. We are ahead of the state
on
their roads.
Yes, they are. speaking of.
Yes.
Can I make a complaint?
You will anyway.
Well, I'm just wondering.
Okay, go ahead. The complaint line is open.
It's a suggestion, okay? This is pre-topic number two, hour number two. By the way, this is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. Roger and Jim in today. I'm hoping to get somebody in here tomorrow. I mean, it's vacation time for everybody. It's crazy. If you're driving eastbound on 94 and you go past Sprinkle Road,
yes.
Okay, you go under the Sprinkle Road Bridge,
mm-hmm.
then there's the Cork Street Bridge,
mm-hmm.
then there is a third bridge, okay,
mm-hmm.
that's down the, or Miller Road would be
Miller
the
Road.
Miller
ML,
Road.
I think it's ML there. But
yeah, but it, Miller Road. And then there's the third one, okay, the third, and it's not marked. It's the last one before you head down the stretch to Galesburg.
Yeah, that's the business route.
I don't know what that is.
Eastbound business route.
Okay.
That's where it comes in.
When you drive underneath that bridge in the right-hand lane,
yeah.
you encounter teeth-rattling bumps. I mean,
Michigan.
Big. Just nasty.
Michigan.
Can't you, like, close it down? Just that one patch.
No.
In the middle of the night.
We got no money for that.
Oh, man. I'm telling you.
We got no money for fixing roads, Jim. Michigan is poor. We're a destitute state. We can't take care of our roads. Jeez.
Man, I'll tell you, it'll it could change your mind. That's how bad. And people know what I'm talking about because you go underneath that. If you're driving a semi, I don't think you can tell the difference. But in a car or an SUV or something or a truck,
mm-hmm.
you go underneath there and it just rattles you all to pieces.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh. Do you remember in Pirates of the Caribbean, somebody accused the character Johnny Depp was playing of cheating? And he stands there and he says, "Pirate!" Well, when you complain about bad roads, you should add Michigan
okay.
in front of it.
Right.
Pure Michigan and...
Icky roads.
Icky roads.
Go
yes.
together.
Yeah.
So anyway, near mile marker 69, just past Mattawan, about 3 miles east of Mattawan. Mile marker 69 again. The traffic is apparently stopped completely on 994. So if you get to Mattawan or in Pawpaw, you're going to want to get off and get on Red Arrow Highway and go that way if you're coming towards Kalamazoo.
And it's eastbound.
Eastbound.
Yes. That's the problem.
So, thank you very much.
Somebody on westbound, let us know what the cause of all this is.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
All right. So, Raj.
Yes?
One of your favorite people in the news again, and this time not about the NSA, which really surprised me.
Yeah, but he and I agree on that, too.
State of the Union yesterday. U.S. Representative Justin Amash, apparently he'll appear on that show, but he won't appear on ours.
Ah.
So, that's okay, because you know how busy he is. He did
State of the Union is the show on CNN. We're not talking about a presidential address.
Yeah. Candy Crowley, who's the host,
yeah,
posed the question to Representative Amash to answer the question, what would those people with pre-existing conditions do, okay,
mm-hmm.
if Obamacare weren't the law? And the U.S. representative came up with an answer that I bet a lot of people weren't expecting or knew. And that might be, my friend? Yes? Oh, I thought you, because this was your article.
Oh, I was just letting you do the...
Well, he suggested on the show that insurance already had an answer to pre-existing conditions.
Well, yeah, but that's a lie.
Ignoring the fact that a vast number couldn't gain coverage simply because they had been sick. So Crowley's question was, quote, What's the alternative to those who now find their pre-existing conditions don't matter, they can still get insurance? What do you say to the 25-year-old that still needs to stay on his parents? What happens to them if Obamacare goes away? And she asked this, of course, of Amash, because he's a Republican, and the Republicans have been doing their level best to take the Affordable Health Care Act and flush it down the toilet.
How many times have they voted to repeal it? 40? I've kept count. They got nothing better to do.
And so far, they are for 40.
Yeah.
So Representative Amash then replied that pre-existing conditions can be covered. In fact, they're covered by some insurance policies. Crowley echoed and said, some. Mm-hmm. Now, here is where Representative Amash and Roger converge and become one in the thought process. Here we go. Here is his answer. But you have to have a competitive marketplace that allows those products to be offered. The way we have insurance now, you're required to provide a particular insurance product. It creates a monopoly in the system and prices go up. You think? If you want to increase access to health care, you have to have competition.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Well, and
competition.
We're seeing what that competition has done. Some states looking at significant reductions in the cost of health care. 50% in the case of New York State. And when the free enterprise system is allowed to work, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise.
And this is kind of a double-edged sword for Republicans. Now, I also want to mention Representative Amash is one of those Republicans that wants to shut the government down unless Obamacare is defunded. However, and this seems to be a nice thing, I'm guessing. Those people who voted for Republicans are now angrily asking their representatives and senators, what's going to happen if you get your wish and Obamacare is defunded? Ergo, let's zip back to Roger's comment earlier in the show, that if you want to get rid of something, you should have another plan in place.
Yeah,
you should have a solution to the problem. Because if you don't, you're the problem.
Well,
you can't just go and take this thing out and then say, oh, well, what are we going to do? No, you can't do that. You're talking about millions and millions of people whose health insurance status is at risk. And whether you like it or not, you better have another plan and it better be good.
One of the reasons that healthcare is so expensive in this country, 2.5 times more expensive than most other developed countries, is because we have so many people who cannot get health insurance and therefore are just going to emergency rooms and stiffing the hospitals with the bill. The hospitals then have to find a way to recover that money, and so they raise the prices on the rest of us to pay for all those people who are coming to the emergency room that can't pay.
Yep. Now, really quick interject here. As Roger said, we have a traffic tipster that would tell us what's going on, and we have one. Back up the traffic, backing up all the way now to exit 66, which is Mattawan. Apparently, they're loading a Caterpillar truck on a flatbed, and it should be clear anytime now.
Oh.
So.
All right.
That does. And thank you very much. Boy, yes. I'll tell you, our listeners are just on it.
Yes.
It's
still not on the MDOT interactive
it'll probably
map.
It'll probably be gone by the time, that happens.
Yeah.
So. Just so you know, and I don't agree with a lot of what Mitch McConnell, what comes out of his mouth, because I really believe that he is like John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. They're the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to Congress ever getting anything done. Those four couldn't agree on what to get for breakfast if they were together. It's just not going to happen. But Mitch McConnell has said, quote, The Republicans should abandon the effort to try to shut down the government unless Obamacare is defunded, because shutting down the government will not stop Obamacare. Jeez, you think? So he's using a little common sense, but again, you know, it's amazing. It all funnels down to you and me and everybody else with a heartbeat that walks into a voting booth. And I know it's repetitive. I even got an email. I got an email over this, Raj, that stipulated, could you please quit beating a dead horse and stop talking about people holding their representatives accountable? No, that's my mantra. That's going to be my drumbeat from here until the elections. You as a voter have the responsibility. You have the privilege to vote. If you choose not to vote, then fine. But if you vote, if you go to a voting place, if you color in those circles, okay, you must do your due diligence to find out exactly who the people are that are next to those circles and what they believe in and whether you believe in what they believe in. That's the problem. You have to, and if you don't, then you have to ask those people whose names are going to be next to those little circles very, very serious questions. Why the heck did you sequester? Why the heck did you take a 5-week vacation when you haven't done anything? Period. Why did you delay the farm bill? Why do you keep trying to defund Obamacare when you don't have a viable plan to put in its place?
Well,
and on and on and on.
And when they already know they can't be successful. The House is voting to repeal Obamacare 40 times, but they know the Senate is never going to repeal Obamacare. And they know even if the Senate did, the president would veto it. And so they do the same thing over and over and over. Instead of doing something positive, they have these no votes that make them feel all warm and fuzzy, but it gets them nothing. It cannot be successful. They don't use the time to come up with an alternative plan. All they want to do is stop things.
Now, I want to give credit where credit is due. Okay, the plans may not be viable, I don't know. But in the Medicaid expansion battle that we're having here in the state of Michigan, at least two senators have come up with alternative plans. Now, mind you, I don't know if they're going to work or not, but you know what? They came up with alternative plans. They thought, okay, we don't like the Medicaid expansion. Here's a plan that we think will work. See, now that type of thinking, it doesn't necessarily have to be right, but at least they're providing an alternative. There's something out there. Now, whether, I hear rumors that neither one of them, they're both. Well, actually, let me use the kind of paraphrase the words of the Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger.
Mm-hmm.
They're both dead in the water if they come over here. Now, House has already approved the Medicaid expansion.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the other two plans. Speaker Bulger has already said, man, if they come over here, they're gone. We're not doing them. That's it. No, we're not voting for those. We already voted for one. It's up to the Senate to vote for this one. This is the one that will work. This, by the way, is a Republican saying this. Jace Bulger, well, he is a Republican, isn't he? He likes to convert Democrats to never mind.
Yeah.
But no, he's a Republican. He said, this is the plan. Governor Snyder, this is the plan. Randy Richardville, state Senate Majority Leader. Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, we
have a Republican governor here, too.
I know.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying these two senators at least took the time to come up with another plan. The House Republicans have Bupke. What is that Einstein says? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Well, then we got a 435 Einstein sitting over there on one side of the House or one side of the Capitol, because they're expecting, oh, no, if we pass it the 38th time, the Senate will pass it. No, well, let's try it again. If we do it again, this will be number 39. Yeah, we do this. The Senate will like this one. No, they won't. They've already said they won't. Like you said, the president will veto anything that comes across his desk that is going to eliminate the Affordable Health Care Act. The problem is that are there parts of it that aren't good? Yeah, there are parts of it that aren't good. And this happens from Democrats ramrodding it through Congress in the first place without a lot of debate or anything. But the simple fact of the matter is, it's what we've got now. It's what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to repeal it, then you better darn well have another plan that's ready to go in place and it's ready to hit the ground running.
Well, you know, last week I said Republicans were trying desperately to make sure there were 50 million uninsured Americans.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of emails on that comment. But what proves it to me is that they have no alternative plan.
Mm-hmm.
They're opposed to Obamacare, but they aren't suggesting what we should do to offer insurance to those 50 million people. And if you are opposed to Obamacare and you have no alternative, then you are, in fact, just fighting to keep people uninsured.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Hi, Tom. You there?
Tom?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. It. Okay.
Yep. Sorry. I kind of disagree with both of you. You guys seem to be in agreement. And, you know, I'm just not sure. I won't throw it out there as that I'm certain. But voting to roll back something that admittedly they didn't know what was in it before they passed it, voting to roll it back, at least, with no immediate plan doesn't seem all that different. I guess I'm not sure what the difference is. Voting on something that they've admitted, a fair number of them, they didn't know what was in it. I mean, how is that any different than, you know, at least once you open this gift that we now have, and you have plenty of businesses and even union leaders. I mean, that news story recently, I forget who did it, who had a number of people, you know, saying all the companies who are cutting people to 29 hours and all that stuff. Yeah, voting to at least get rid of something that now a lot of people are saying is a bad idea, and let's go to work at it again. I don't know if that's all that different and necessarily bad. To say that, you know, if you don't have another plan, you can't speak up and say that this is bad, I mean, I don't think that's true.
Well, no, I guess maybe it's, here's the thing, is that because we're getting down to the closeness of this thing, of the Affordable Health Care Act kicking in. I guess if you're going to say we want to get rid of it completely, you really need to have another plan in place. But I think voting for something that you don't necessarily know what you're voting for, but you do it anyway, yeah, that kind of strikes me as being a little unusual, too.
Yeah, Tom, and I got one more time. I go after you. Go ahead.
You don't see a problem with 50 million Americans freeloading at hospital emergency rooms because they have no insurance, and the rest of us having to pay for their health care?
Sure.
You don't see a problem with that?
No, and this is where just because I don't care for Obamacare doesn't mean that I don't care about 50 million Americans uninsured.
But
those don't equal to each other. That's one thing we all agree on, but there are a lot of people also agreeing at this time, now that we see the implications of Obamacare, that this isn't the right plan.
But you're saying they have no responsibility to have a workable plan?
No, I don't think he is. I think he's saying that we've got an issue here. This thing is not the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
But if you say that, you shouldn't automatically be pigeonholed and said, well, that means that you don't believe that there's 50 million Americans. No, I think people would agree, for the most part, including Tom, I think, that, yeah, we need to find a plan, but this one may not be the best one. However, we got to find a way to deal with it without saying, okay, nothing goes or everything goes or something.
And that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Just because I don't care for what Obamacare is doing, like a friend of mine who emailed me, you know, what the company, he works at a company here in Kalamazoo, off White's Road, remain unnamed, but forwarded me the email that was sent to him by his, the company that administers their health insurance, their benefits, that they can all expect at least a 30% increase come, you know, due to the Affordable Care Act coming, this next open enrollment.
What do you think that's based on, since we're seeing in New York and California reductions of 50% in New York, 30% in California? Why are all these large states seeing cuts in insurance rates? What's going on there, do you think, Tom?
Well, the states that you mentioned, I mean, do they already have, you know, really big, you know, state plans that are helping a lot of people already? And that this is, I mean, I don't think, because you can pull up three states out of 50 that it's benefiting, that, you know, this equals a good idea.
Well, you pulled one business on White's Road out,
sure,
and
well,
said that's an example of what's happening all over the country. And I'm saying there's evidence of rates going in both directions, not just up, as in the case of this company. Maybe they're not doing a very good job of managing their insurance coverage. You know, there are incompetent business owners out there.
Yeah, but you know what? The climate of insurance in Michigan is different from New York and different from Pennsylvania and different from, you know. So I would want to see some statistics too, Tom, but I know that both are happening. That's the thing.
And this wasn't an email. I mentioned the local business because I thought that would bring it local for you, you know, something in our backyard. Two, it wasn't an email from the owner. It was an email from the, you know, the company that administers their benefits and shops the rates, basically an independent agency, you know, that does a lot of health care. So shops their rates for their employees. And, you know, so it wasn't the business owner. Kind of a mess.
Well, thanks, Tom. We appreciate it. Yep. Thanks for time to call in. We appreciate it. By the way, the trifecta brought to you in part by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. And by Theater Kalamazoo, home to more than a dozen producing theaters in Southwest Michigan. Visit theaterkalamazoo.com for a full listing of theaters and upcoming shows. Somebody said, where's Mile Marker 69? It's 3 miles east of Mattawan, just before you get to 9th Street. That's where it is! I think what's going to happen here is we're going to see some jostling in the Michigan market as far as insurance goes. They're going to be, I've yet to see what the competition's going to be. Individually, I think it's going to be interesting. It really is. I just think it's going to be interesting to see what's going to shake out and, you know, if maybe Justin Amash's dream of competition is going to come true.
But I still think that I'm not seeing ideas for how to make Obamacare better from Republicans. All I'm seeing is ongoing 40 times efforts to do the same thing over and over.
No,
and they know it's not going to be successful, and yet they're not doing anything to make this government program that they think is going to destroy the country. They're not doing anything to try to improve the program. They just want to kill it. They've got no ideas on how to do it better. But they just focused on killing it. Why aren't they working to make it better? When Social Security was first implemented, when Medicare was first implemented, there were problems. You know, you can't start big programs like this and not have some bumps in the road. Why aren't the conservatives who are concerned about this attempting to make the program that is in law passed better? It's already going to happen. Why are they so stuck on killing it and not improving it?
It's a good question. It is. By the way, traffic update. There was a super wide load slowing the traffic down on 94 East, but, this is okay. Super wide loads, some slowing down of traffic near the I-69 exit going north off of 94 East. But apparently, now it says it's clear and rolling now at mile marker 69. So
there you go.
There you go. Tim, all right, you got the last call on this one.
Well, I was telling Raj, I'm retired Navy. Before you go on to Medicare 65, you retired, you know, and you're on a TRICARE insurance. I've been retired now about 11, 12 years and been on TRICARE Prime insurance where I pay enrollment fee, the whole works, pay the deductibles, et cetera. And then I received a letter in May that all military retirees under the age of 65 are being forced off a program that they're doing called TRICARE Prime on a TRICARE standard. And I had done the math, and it's about a 400% increase. And I have contacted several people, and they said it has to do with the Affordable Care or the Obamacare Act. He eventually wants to force military retirees that are under 65 off the rolls and into an insurance exchange. That was not what we were promised serving our country.
I agree with you there, 100%.
You said you've heard from friends that this
talked to TRICARE people. I have talked to Congressman Fred Upton, and that's what I was told.
That's interesting.
TRICARE people told you this was being done to force people out of their program?
No, TRICARE told me that they are doing away with the program because the Department of Defense budget under this president forced them, part of that when they passed that health care law several years ago, was part of the deal to get the people how they could pay for this Obamacare is do away with the TRICARE Prime, put them on TRICARE standard, and eventually by default go into Obamacare. And I was told that by Congressman Fred Upton. I had discussed that with him, and I talked to TRICARE about this. They said that this was a DOD thing that came from the part of the Affordable Care Act on their compromise.
So what we're doing
is we're taking, I served my country 20 years. I was promised a great health insurance. Now it's gone. Now it's garbage.
Well, there were, it isn't just retirees from the military. There are thousands of retirees from the city of Detroit who are losing their health care and their pensions. And so this kind of thing that you're facing, and I'm not saying it's not an ugly situation for you, but you're not the Lone Ranger. I'm a retiree from a drug company, and the companies changed hands, and their insurance plan for their employees has been denigrated a number of times from what those folks were promised when they were at work as well. You're not the Lone Ranger, Tim.
Roger, I'm not the Lone Ranger. What I'm saying is that let's compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges. Let's talk about military service and sacrifice for 20 years of your life. And it did not get rich. I didn't go in the private sector. I served my country, and there's a lot of other people the same way. We were promised this. And it's a lot different than working in the private sector. And then when you reach 65, you go into Medicare and you use your supplement of that health insurance from your previous employer if they offer it. But this is not even what's happening to us. We're being thrown to the wolves here, and it's not fair to the military veterans.
Trust me, Tim, I wasn't telling you to buck up. I was telling you you're not the Lone Ranger.
I think there's a lot of people that are going to, unfortunately, the Affordable Health Care Act is doing. I don't know what they did as far as the deals go, but it sounds to me like there were a lot of compromises made without talking to the people who the compromises were going to affect.
Absolutely.
So thanks, Tim. We appreciate
it.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I agree with them 100%. Serving your country is, and you know, the thing is that they're not asking for much, but they are asking. And I agree with you, Roger. I think that the retirees in Detroit are getting dumped on big time. And if I were,
I don't think it's just Detroit.
Oh, no, it's
all
over the place.
Hostess said they couldn't afford the retirement plan for their union employees, so they went bankrupt so they could lower the price of their Twinkies. Now the Twinkies are back on the market, and guess what? They're being sold at the same price they were when they had to pay for the retirees' pensions.
Yeah. It's going to be a slippery slope.
It isn't just the veterans going, who are getting screwed.
Going back all the way to the beginning when we were talking about this, if you're going to change the Affordable Health Care Act, you have to do it in a way where the good parts stay. You improve the parts that aren't. You take out the parts that are horrible. But by taking it completely out, that's not the way to do it. CBS News Local News coming up next. It is the Trifecta. It is the Trifecta 590 WKZL. It's Roger. It's Jim. And John has popped in. I'm going to let him preview. We have this thing in the afternoon. It's actually called The Thing. That's what we call it. The Thing.
Oh.
But John has an announcement about The Thing today that you're going to want to listen to in the 5 o'clock.
He has a thing about The Thing?
Actually, yeah. We call it the PM thingy.
The PM thingy. That's right.
Yes.
So what's today's PM thingy going to do?
Well, it was just a report was released today by Beyond Nuclear, which is an anti-nuclear group, rather rabid anti-nuclear group, basically an epidemiological study of Van Buren County.
Really?
Over the
don't
last
say anymore now.
40 years.
Yeah.
Saying that...
don't say anymore. No.
No?
They have to listen during the 5 o'clock afternoon news. Yeah.
You don't want me to say
No. I want him to listen.
Sneak preview. This is a real teaser.
No,
huh?
You cannot.
Can I vote?
No.
Oh.
No. No. It's
you're not even being a benevolent dictator.
No, not now. No. I want people to listen to this. Because as when John came in, he told me, he says, this is going to shake you to your very core. And when he told me, I was shocked.
I may have also been kidding, so.
That's okay.
John, when you get done in there, come
on
over.
I can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, tell John to come over and see me.
John, he wants you to go over there and talk to him because he can't stand the suspense.
All right.
But in the meantime.
My deodorant's breaking down.
it does that anyway. So, but anyway, it's the PM thingy, and it comes up in the second half of the 5 o'clock afternoon news, so be there.
Yep.
Good stuff. John McNeil, our WKZO.com news director. Good stuff here. All right.
Can I make one quick comment on our last topic?
Sure.
We passed Obamacare in 2010. The Republicans have been adamant in their opposition to it since 2010. How come in 3 years they've not been able to come up with an alternative?
I don't know, because they're too busy saying no.
But that's the question. They're concerned that there are 50 million people not paying for their health care in this country, and they would rather see that continue than to have Obamacare. And in 3 years, they've not been able to come up with a better idea.
You know who I would have put in charge of it?
Who?
Paul Ryan. Seriously.
No.
Man, sharp as a tack when it comes to numbers. And you know what? He all that time he came up with a plan for
Social
Security.
He's not as sharp as you think he is.
Put him in charge of it.
No.
He and Daryl Issa.
No, there's a pair to draw to.
We
need
it.
To have some reasonable and intelligent people doing it. Not liberals, not progressives, but we need to have people who are able to think. And neither of the two characters you just mentioned are the sharpest knives in the drawer.
Then I'm going to pick somebody that I think probably could do a pretty good job, and that would be Justin Amash.
You go from one bad alternative to another, and there are some things I agree with Amash on.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If he agrees in the free market and stuff, why wouldn't he, let him go, see what he does. That would be cool. By the way, we had a post, a station on Ritter, eastbound 94 in Benton Harbor, $3.49 for regular.
All right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So gasbuddy.com is a good place to go. You can go to our website and find that. But all right, so this is going to be a real quick topic, but it's a finger-pointing issue pretty much. That's what I'm going to do. State official, head of the Tax Analysis Division of the Michigan Department of Treasury, his name is Howard Heidemann, indicated about 4 months ago that Covert Township and Van Buren County officials erred in saying how the distribution of the 2012 winter tax payment from New Covert Generating Company was made. And what happened was the two treasurers, one in Covert Township, the other in Van Buren County, paid the school district only $90,000 of the $3.9 million they were owed. Now, all the other governmental entities, including the township and the county, mind you, were almost paid in full. Covert pretty much had a fiscal meltdown this year as far as school is concerned.
And why were they denied their money?
Well, and that's the thing. That hasn't been explained yet. But Heidemann's email to those two said that instead of doing it the way they did it, they should have done it proportionally, which it would have given Covert schools about $1.9 million, thus averting the meltdown that they had.
And there's no explanation whatsoever why every other governmental entity got their share of the funds and why the schools were denied?
The explanation in the article from MLive basically says that since they're both elected officials, they don't report to a supervisor. And according to MLive, they couldn't reach him for comments. So here's the thing. Now, it's there's a lot of lawyer legalese and stuff like this. And then there's more. School officials were told that the new Covert generating plant refused to pay its school taxes, period. So in July, they had such severe cash flow problems that the district was on the verge of closing. And then they announced a financial bailout of the district. But the thing is, why wasn't it done in a proportional manner in the first place? And that's the problem. Nobody seems to know the answer to that one. If this is more to come, and this is going to involve a lot of lawyers and everything else, the thing is that they asked the local other entities to be billed for the proportional share that was owed to the school district, and local officials didn't follow that advice. They did not suggest, or they did not send out any kind of letters to other entities saying, we overpaid you, you need to pay this back. This goes to the school district. They didn't do that.
Now, Jim, earlier this half hour, you were talking about how people have to be involved in their government, and they've got to be watching what their government is doing.
Indeed.
If you were a taxpayer and lived in Covert Township, how would you have managed this situation? What would you have done as a citizen to have kept this kind of nonsense from happening? Well, what should those people in Covert Township, how could they have protected themselves from this crap?
Well, that's a good question, Roger. I'm gonna have to go reactive instead of proactive, because the people that we're dealing with are already in office.
Okay.
But I would go to school board meetings and I would ask point blank, what happened as far as the budget? Ask the budget director what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to this type of? Then you go to the Van Buren County Commission's meetings, okay, because it's Van Buren County, and you demand to know what was going on. You also go to the Covert Township meetings, because the two treasurers that are involved are the Covert Township treasurer and the Van Buren County treasurer. You need to hold those people accountable for why. What was the reasoning for your payout? Why did you pay the amount of money to those people, that those entities that you did? Was there some explanation? You had to have a formula. It wasn't just eeny, meeny, miny, mo. If you don't get the right answers from the treasurers, then there's one of two things you can do. The next time they come up for re-election, you mount the campaign and make sure that they do not get re-elected, by forcing the issue here, saying, this could happen to your district. This could happen to you. If this happened to your school, they might have the same willy-nilly, we're just going to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo here, because that's what it looks like. Or if you're really, really honked off, there's always the effort of recall. You could recall the official, saying that they misappropriated funds by not following a formula that a state tax official recommended that would have been a more fair and equitable. And Raj, I guess this is the linchpin of the whole thing. I think public officials, it doesn't matter if you have to answer to a supervisor or not, public officials, okay, unless mm-hmm. they are bound by law to not, and they are in personnel matters. That I do know. When they're dealing with personnel, it has to be a closed you know, situation where the information doesn't necessarily get out. But I really would be really curious to find out what the Covert Township Treasurer and the Van Buren County Treasurer used as justification for the payout that they made. And they can't sit there and hide behind and say, well, we did, no. What did you use? What formula did you use? Was there a formula on the books? Because if you can prove, okay, if you can prove that you had a justifiable economic principle behind this, then people have to shut up because obviously you used a tried and true economic principle to distribute the money. If you didn't, if it was just, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to do this, or we're all just going to split everything up evenly or whatever, even though the distribution normally isn't equitable like that. School districts get this and, you know, this percentage and blah, 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 down the line. If you didn't follow that format, then you've got some splaining to do. And I guess, Raj, that's my explanation for that. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that people need to use the rod of democracy to start beating up some officials and saying, look, we want answers. That's it.
I've got one more little question for you when we come back on this
topic. Okay, and then Dr. Sports is here.
Then I'll make it a long question.
She's not liking that.
No, I'm not.
It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. All right, now Dr. Sports is chomping at the bit here, so.
I'm just going to quickly make my comment.
Go ahead.
Did you see McDonald's proposed budget for their employees that included having a second job and working 60 or 70 hours?
Yeah, I did.
How are people in that situation supposed to have the time and the mental energy to ride herd on governments like when you see what's happening in covert?
It's a good question.
That's my question.
I don't know.
Now to Dr. Sports.
No, I honestly don't know, and that is a very good question, and we probably ought to look into it. Seriously. We ought to.
How are taxpayers supposed to have the time to track all these shenanigans
and maybe,
that are going on in government?
Maybe some elected officials are counting on that.
I'm thinking they are.
Yeah.
Dr. Sports.
Wait a minute. Are you saying there's a conspiracy here? Could be. Huh?
Yeah.
Just shake your head, yeah, and say yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I walked in the middle of this conversation, but I would only have to say that the answer to all of your problems is Miguel Cabrera.
Walk him. So here's the thing.
To whatever you were talking about, that's what I'm just saying.
I think
the answer is Miguel Cabrera.
Oh yeah, it is. Miguel Cabrera is having another MVP season, which cracks me up. It's just, I mean, the man's just amazing. He's hurt. He's pounding the ball out. He had a walk-off home run over the weekend. Apparently, the memo is out.
And so is the legal ID.
Yeah.
Did it fire early?
Yeah, it did. All right, well, we'll have a good time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.